Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. I'm coming to you guys poolside down in sunny Florida. Hopefully I'll bring that warm weather back up in the next couple days, TJ. It's been a while. How have you been?
Doing great, yeah. Certainly, you know, just continuing to kind of, from a football standpoint, it definitely feels like another, you know, weird spring session. I know it's great that spring practice has been able to occur, but from a fan's, you know, point of view, there's just not been much for us to kind of chew on. We're getting some, you know, some tweets and some little videos of things that are going on, but not a whole lot for us to be able to sink our teeth into, which is disappointing, but certainly understandable. You know, I'm not complaining that Indiana's doing anything incorrectly, but definitely would love to get back to the point where we'd have some, you know, a spring game, and that we'd be able to have, you know, people at practice to give us some information for whatever it would be worth. You know, it's always not the wisest thing to make sweeping conclusions based on spring practice, but some information is better than none. So, but I guess we'll take what we can get and be happy that spring practice has been able to occur at all this year, which is certainly an upgrade over 2020.
Yeah. And I go back to, you know, when Tom Allen's staff has been awesome, letting us in at practice and more than stretching, going back to Kevin Wilson's days, it was, you know, you had the stretching and the individual parts, and you can't judge people. Well, you know, he touched his toes on this stretch, but he didn't really touch his toes on that stretch. So it's dying to go back to those days where you could go watch your warmups a little bit. But their social media team has done a fantastic job. I think starting from 2020 and on, bringing us inside the program. You're right. It's really hard to tell what's going on in spring practice because you're not getting ready for a game. You're going back to the basics. You're installing. And this is why this year's spring practice, if Indiana could get in all 15, which they should, even though they had a practice canceled last week, they should be able to get it all in 15. You get to install Nick Sheridan's offense fully, which they didn't get to do last year, because if you're going into, they had 4 spring practices with the new offensive coordinator, and yeah, he'd been on staff for a while, but there's little nuances that were different than Kalen DeBoer's offense, that you just, by the time you get to fall camp with all the starting and stopping, and then the restrictions of how many players you could have in a group, and all that stuff, it was near impossible to actually install a full offense that works. So it's going to be interesting to see what this offense looks like in the fall. I think this is a great opportunity for Jack Tuttle to get lots of reps with Michael Penix out. Now, unfortunately, Dexter Williams is out too with an ACL injury. That happened about a week ago. So it's Jack Tuttle, and then you have a handful of walk-ons with Grant Grimmel, Will Johnson, and some others. So, you know, for as much time as Jack Tuttle missed, and, you know, having spring practice canceled last year and then out with mono the year before that he missed half of spring practice, now he's back, you know, now he could catch up on some of that work. And there's, you know, hopefully they know how to balance, you know, are you giving him too much work where he's burning out and maybe not materializing or processing all the stuff versus, you know, okay, now we're, you know, filling in the gaps that Tuttle had the last couple of years and things like that. And then defensively, you're bringing in Charlton Warren on defense. His scheme, they're going to run the 4-2-5. It looks like the bull is going to be a bigger point of emphasis this year. It's been a position on the IU defense since Tom Allen came in 2016 as defensive coordinator. But, you know, talking to Casey Teagarden today, he said this is the first time they're starting to recruit solely for that position, or especially for that position. And you have guys with the skill set to play that position. You saw it last year as well. So the emphasis on that position, I think, is going to be a little bit more than it was last year under Kane Womack. But the good thing is that you have a veteran defense. You don't lose much in terms of player personnel. You know, Jamar Johnson is a big loss, but you also get Marcelino Ball back and things like that. So it should be a veteran squad moving forward, where spring practice, you know what you need to do and you get it done efficiently and you can move on. If people haven't noticed yet, Indiana did cancel their spring game format. They will scrimmage. It would be hard to believe that fans would be allowed down, especially since they're not allowing fans or family down for Little Five as well. So, you know, hopefully they allow it to be televised, but I could understand why they made the move. You have one healthy scholarship quarterback. You kind of want to protect him, you know, and spring practice, the biggest thing is injuries and preventing injuries and things like that. And with all the fanfare of a spring game and doing all the stuff for the fans, you kind of get away from getting in all the work that's necessary. And with that missed practice, now they'll make it up, but it'll be a different, you know, they're going to do different activities according to Tom Allen. But, you know, it gives the coaches a little bit more freedom to, you know, instead of having the punt catching competition, you could, hey, let's run this play again. Let's try this situation and things like that. So what's your take on the spring game being moved?
I think if coaches could get away with doing this every year, I think they probably would. It's simply, you know, I think a personal preference for them to just be able to do a scrimmage/practice as opposed to some type of jerry-rigged game. Now, it's disappointing for fans just because, you know, we're desperate for anything we can get. It would be great to see either a telecast of it, some type of streaming, maybe, you know, similar to the Don Fisher and Mike Woodson thing, interview that they had. You know, you stream it on Facebook Live or some type of social media platform. I think what's more likely is probably that, you know, you're right, the social media team has done tremendous work for the football program. So maybe, you know, they put together, you know, several different kind of highlight packages and release those starting on Saturday and working through maybe the next week, you know, that you drop different highlight packages from that day. I do think that you do have to be incredibly careful if you're Tom Allen because of the injuries at quarterback. Right now, if Indiana, you know, played, say, Iowa in the season opener on May 1st instead of April 1st, you know, we have one scholarship quarterback, and it's very possible. I know that the plan is definitely for Michael Penix to be full go in fall practice and 100% ready to roar in Kinnick Stadium. However, it's very possible, as much as we don't like to think about it, that he's not quite ready to go. If that happens, then you've got a couple of key early matchups in the season, Iowa and Cincinnati, which are both going to be ranked opponents, that, you know, you only have Jack Tuttle for. and that would be a scary situation for the Hoosiers. So protecting Jack Tuttle right now is really priority number one for the spring. And yes, getting him work, getting him snaps, but making sure nobody even thinks about touching him.
Yep. I agree with that as well. It's foremost the number one thing that you gotta be cognizant of is keeping your quarterback. Now you have Donovan McCulley coming in as well, but you don't want to walk into Kinnick Stadium with a true freshman quarterback who's doesn't have a spring under his belt.
No.
So
he is, from a development standpoint, even with a full fall camp, Donovan McCulley is not going to be ready to participate in a Big Ten game in September of 2021. That's simply not a far from ideal situation, I think, to put it mildly. Now, I did see some speculation from fans online that, hey, do we now pursue some type of, transfer quarterback, after spring practice? And in short, the answer is, well, I guess, but how on earth are you going to sell anybody that's worth a scholarship to come in and at best, you would hope, be a third stringer?
Yep.
I mean, you're playing behind Jack Tuttle. You are working under the assumption that Michael Penix is going to be healthy. So if that's your line of thinking, then you'd have to sell somebody on being a third string quarterback. And at that point, are you getting anybody worth the quality of handing a scholarship to? And I think the answer is probably no. If something, awful happened and Michael Penix had a setback and then Jack Tuttle gets hurt, what do you do at that point? I think you'd have to choose between McCulley and throwing him into the fire when you know he's not there, or getting really creative with your offense and your quarterback position. So either way, that would be a situation we do not want to spend time thinking about, but I'm sure the coaches are going to have an emergency plan in place.
Yep. And one thing we do want to think about, TJ, is betting on sports or making wagers. The NCAA tournament is coming to an end. We got the Final Four this weekend, but baseball is starting up. NBA is in full swing, and the Final Four is here. So BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. Also, in partnership with eBay Sneakers, TJ, I know there are a lot of sneakerheads out there. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for one of the pairs of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @ArmchairMedia on Twitter and Instagram. Whether it's a rare, it's free to sell sneakers, $100 or more on eBay. They got rid of their fee. They have a great authenticity guarantee, so it guarantees your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. So head on over to eBay to get your sneakers. TJ, let's change gears a little bit and get on over to Pro Day. Indiana has pro day tomorrow. There are seven Hoosiers who are chasing their NFL dreams and things like that. Who do you think is the Hoosier who has the best chance of being drafted the highest?
My opinion, and I'm certainly not a draft expert, my opinion would be Jamar Johnson. Indiana safety that, you know, I think could accurately be described as a ball hawk, playmaking safety, however you want to describe it. I think he, a guy that makes plays like he does have a place in the NFL. And I think that Jamar Johnson, I have no clue where he slots in on NFL draft boards, but just from watching the NFL, players like Jamar Johnson end up having a big impact on teams. So I would guess that it would be Jamar Johnson. The guy after him is probably Jerome Johnson for me. I think, again, a large space-eating defensive lineman, those have spots in the NFL. I think those two guys probably jump off to me. And then Stevie Scott, obviously, you know, terrific running back for the Indiana Hoosiers. I hope that he is able to find a spot. And you mentioned it, there's seven guys. I think all of them definitely have their qualities that they will be able to showcase. But the one that jumps out on to me is Jamar Johnson as a potential, you know, future Pro Bowl type guy if he gets into the right situation and continues to develop.
Yeah, you know, Jamar Johnson would be my choice as well. We'll see, you know, what happens. I think, you know, it's tough to take a punter in the draft, maybe late in the round. Hayden Whitehead is a guy who gets chosen. He had a fantastic year, but he'll definitely get at least an undrafted free agent or at least a tryout and things like that. But Javon Swan's another guy who can eat up space. He's a little light on being a space eater, but he had a productive year. He didn't get that many tackles, but he knocked down passes and he was in pursuit of things as well. The guy that is the most interesting might be Harry Kreider. He's a guy who could play center. He could play both guards. He's a versatile offensive lineman, which teams like as well. And then you got to see how Wop Villiard does as well. Because he's a guy who could also play special teams. He was great on punt coverage last year as well. You know, running down the field, it'll be interesting to see what his scores are on the 40. And it's a different type of experience because there was no scout in-person scouting combine this year. So, you know, pro day, this is like the one pro day you would love to go to because they're going to do everything. And you can watch it. Usually pro days, it's, you know, one guy, a couple guys will run their 40, a couple guys will sit out, they'll do their bench press. And it's kind of, you know, it's 4 hours to watch a couple guys do a couple of things. But now you have seven guys who are going to go through pro day and they're going to do everything. And there are guys who are, you know, they're going to be drafted. The Indiana draft streak is going to continue. So it'll be interesting to see pro days tomorrow. We'll tweet out the scores as they come in from Indiana football. Another reminder, TJ, tonight is the banquet, Indiana Football Awards banquet for the awards, what I assume are the awards from last season and not spring ball. So we'll have those as they come out at 7 o'clock tonight. But let's talk a little recruiting, TJ. It's been kind of quiet, but Indiana got their first commit of the 2023 class. I forgot his name.
Denzel Moore.
And Denzel Moore, a linebacker out of – he's actually listed as a weak side. He's going to be perfect for that bowl position. He's out of Georgia. He's got a ton of offers. He's not ranked yet in terms of star rankings, but that's because of COVID, not being able to go and evaluate players and being in the 2023 class. I think he's a great pickup. What is your opinion on Denzel Moore?
Well, for me, the primary way that I evaluate recruits, whether this is right or wrong, I look at who else is pursuing this kid. And, you know, obviously you want to watch their highlight films, and, you know, the best is to be able to watch their full games and see the entire package. That's best case scenario. We don't get to do that with guys that typically, you know, that are not in the state of Indiana. So I look at their offer list, who is not just offering them, but really attempting to land them with a serious recruitment. And Denzel Moore's offer list was terrific. I mean, Georgia, Auburn, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Arkansas, Michigan, Miami, Minnesota, Notre Dame, Texas, Texas A&M, you know, a lot of very high-powered schools that Indiana was going up against for the commitment of Denzel Moore. They land him. The first thing you think of is, you know, that's a long time until signing day. Are we going to keep this kid? He definitely seems very committed, and he's, you know, talking about starting, you know, recruiting on the other 2023 prospects and to build that class. Like you said, he's going to play that bull position, it would seem. He's 6'2", he's got good length. And, you know, you mentioned earlier in the podcast that Indiana is now recruiting specifically for that bull position as opposed to kind of plugging guys into it after they get on campus and figuring out where they fit. They have a specific, or Charlton Warren and Tom Allen both have a specific person in mind, or a body type in mind and an athlete in mind that they want to go out and get to fill that position. And I think that Denzel Moore, based on their comments and what he looks like to me, he fits that right away. He's got good size, really good speed, and Indiana has told him, this is where we see you playing. So it was Charlton Warren's, you know, recruit, really, because he was after him at Georgia before coming to Indiana, and a good first one to land for our new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and he was very big in his recruiting process as well, to land him. What's more important, it seems that June is going to be when everything opens back up in terms of recruiting and taking official visits. And if you go on to the 247 sports site and look at the official visits that IU has already set, and they're starting June 11th, you have a ton of prospects. Probably the biggest day coming the weekend of June 18th, where you have 6 prospects coming in. But you have 12 prospects, you know, 3-star or better. There are, I believe, 6 4-star prospects has scheduled official visits for Indiana. It's going to be a wild June to see how many of these visitors they can get to commit and stick in this class of 2022.
I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, with the hire of Charlton Warren, the hire of Devin McCullough, and the momentum that Indiana had, a lot of people were, okay, well, where are the commitments? Let's start it. You know, let's get the ball rolling and capitalize on this momentum. It wasn't possible. Most kids are not going to commit without being able to set foot on your campus, see the facilities, meet the coaches face to face. That, you know, as much as we wanted that to happen right away, it was not realistic. Yeah. However, those hires and the momentum of the program, it seems like, is really going to start paying off for the Hoosiers in June, with, you know, some potentially big time commitments. There's guys that Indiana's in great position with, but they want to be on campus. They want to see the facilities, as they should. It's a big decision for these guys. And you should absolutely take your due diligence when it becomes available to you.
Yep.
You know, based on what we know about how Indiana has upgraded facilities and about how Indiana, you know, the guys that they have on staff, they feel pretty good about themselves and their chances to land a commitment if there's a kid serious about them that they can get on campus. So I like Indiana's chances to come out of June with a really, really strong looking 2022 class.
Yeah, and it's now to the point of, hey, you have these top, you know, top prospects, or top 300, top 600, top 300, you know, top 350, top 500, top 200, and Travial Mo. It's now Indiana's coaching staff has done a great job in person recruiting, and that's where they've, you know, landed some of these guys. Now it's time, as Tom Allen would say, it's time to finish. They need a closer to come in and close some of these recruitments out, secure the commitments, and build this class up. And, you know, I'm not worried about the 2022 class ranking right now, which is 74, because they only have one commit. But, you know, if you could land, they have 12 guys coming in. If you could land half of them in June, you're in great shape. If you could land more than that, they've done an amazing job of, you know, getting guys on and getting commitments.
Yes, absolutely. I'm, you know, Mullen's brother, that's one that you kind of looked at as an outside chance. Well, maybe, you know, his brother's here, if he likes it, then maybe. And the more that Taiwan has been in Indiana, and the more you've seen from him and how great he's been so far in his career, and how much he appears to love Indiana University and playing football for IU, but, you know, you kind of start to get, well, maybe we can get his brother. Maybe we can. And the closer we're getting to him, you know, making a decision, the more that starts to set in as a real reality that IU's got a real shot to land him. And the more Mullins we can get at Indiana, the better, because that appears to be a special family athletically. So, you know, getting him would be tremendous. There's guys on both sides of the ball that you'd be really excited about to have at Indiana. So, obviously, you know, we'll cover those visits when they happen. And of course, hope that we're able to cover some commitments from those visits.
Yes.
I think that just from the outside looking in, it would be hard for a kid that was interested in Indiana to meet Charlton Warren, Devin McCullough, Nick Sheridan, Tom Allen, you know, Coach Peoples, Coach Hiller, Coach Hurd, you know, the staff that Indiana currently has. It would be hard for me to think that all that many guys that are already, you know, really interested in IU because they're taking visits would come to campus and, you know, be able to say, no, that's not great for me. But obviously we are not 17, 18 year old kids. So yeah, impossible to get into their minds, but I like Indiana's chances to really land some terrific players and keep building this program, because that's what IU has to do. They've got to continue to stack recruiting classes on top of each other, develop those recruits, keep your culture in place. That's how you turn yourself, you know, somewhat slowly, but surely from a 4-8 program to a 5-7 to a 7-5 to ultimately where the Hoosiers want to go, which is, you know, competing for the Big Ten championship. That's how you do it with the recruiting, stacking classes one year after the next.
Yeah, and it's going to be – I'm excited for June, which is why on April 1st we're talking about June, is that it could be a real special time for Indiana football and their fans and the coaching staff and the players as well. So, TJ, before we get out of here, what are your final thoughts on, you know, spring practice, and what are you looking for or looking forward to seeing during the next 10 days while IU wraps up practice? And then what do you want as we get into fall camp down the line in July? What's one thing you need to see from Indiana football?
The obvious answer for everybody is going to be the quarterback position. in fall camp. You want to see a healthy Michael Penix. That being said, outside of the obvious, I'm very interested in seeing how the wide receiver position, you know, kind of works itself out. Indiana has a lot of bodies that I think are very talented. Ty Freifogel, certainly the leader of the group. After that, I think that there are legitimate question marks about, you know, who's going to step in to what fill your shoes? Who is going to be the next outside targets? I think there's really good answers there. I just don't know what they are going to be. And I'm very interested to see how that group plays out. And then the second thing that I'm interested in seeing is who steps up and turns into a legitimate, you know, problem pass rusher. Being able to consistently beat your man one-on-one is something that the Hoosiers have – that it's just really hard to find those guys. I think Ryder Anderson could be that player for Indiana. But, you know, we've thought that about guys before. So I'm interested to see if anybody can step up on the defensive line. Again, lots of talented options, but IU needs one or two of those players to really insert themselves into the kind of the all Big Ten team defensive end conversation for IU to think about reaching their ceiling.
Yeah, I think, you know, most important to me, you know, you said it, quarterback health. And I think, you know, kind of off the field stuff is continuing to get into the weight room and building up these players. I think that hurt them, especially in the bowl game after the 2-week COVID break. But I think it also hurt, hurt players' development, especially along the offensive line, that they couldn't work out like they were used to in a normal non-pandemic year. So that's what I'm looking forward to, seeing them hit the weight room and get back to normal, see Aaron Wellman at 100% capacity and things like that. Because he – look, IU, they didn't wilt down the stretch in a lot of games, and I think that's a big credit to Coach Wellman and his staff. But you could definitely tell in the bowl game that who was affected by COVID and who wasn't, and that's not – a knock on the staff or anything like that. Anytime you're in season, you miss 2 weeks, you're done in terms of conditioning, especially going down to Florida where it's 80 degrees for the bowl game and not playing in 3 weeks or a month. And it really took its toll, especially early on in that game. But once IU got rolling in the second half, they ran out of time and downs for the most part. But that's what I'm most looking forward to. I think going into the fall, health is going to be the biggest concern, and the offensive line. Can this offensive line develop into an offensive line that can open up holes for the run game and protect the quarterback? Because those are, I think, the two most important things to improve on and on offense is protecting the quarterback, making sure that they're not getting hit every play. If you go back and watch the Ohio State game, it looks like Michael Penix had a Ohio State player on his back every throw. And it's amazing that he threw for almost 500 yards. And then the run game needs to do, you know, they need to open up holes in the run game, and it not to just be a complementary aspect of the offense, but to, you know, kind of go along with the passing and make people think, oh, hey, they're going to run, and not just out of the wildcat and things like that, but actually have a threat on the ground for big plays in the run game as well.
Yeah, that would be that'd be very beneficial to the offense. Having a, you know, you hate to mix sports metaphors, at least I do, but having a home run hitter in the backfield would be terrific. And I, you know, I really am excited to see how the running back room sorts itself out. As everybody knows, I'm a, you know, irrationally big fan of Charlie Spiegel, but, you know, I think that the realistic candidates there of Tim Baldwin and Samson James, you know, I think that both of them have a lot to prove. And I'm sure they're both very hungry to show to the coaches that they deserve, you know, Stevie Scott's carries.
Yeah. You also have two freshmen coming in who should be very, very good and have the speed to be breakaway guys who, you know, it'll be interesting because Mike Hart, one of the things I did not like about Mike Hart's coach was that he just rode Stevie Scott and didn't let Samson James or Ronnie Walker or, you know, after Tim Baldwin had his big game, it looked like Tim Baldwin just disappeared. Like these complimentary backs didn't get into a rhythm even when they had success. And that's maybe Dylan McCullough. And he's had, you know, success with that in the past at IU when he had Tevin Coleman and Stephen Houston and Devine Redding and D'Angelo Roberts all on the same, you know, the same squad. And he got them carries and you know, you don't get 2,000 yard running backs in the same year by just handing the ball off to one guy. Yeah, Jordan Howard was the workhorse, but Devine Redding also had some games where he played well. And, you know, in 2014, he had D'Angelo Roberts was complimentary to Tevin Coleman, especially after the fact we learned that Tevin had the sickle cell anemia, that you need that second back, especially in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, the freshman running backs that are coming in, running back's a position that you can contribute as a freshman. You know, it's not a guarantee at all, but you certainly can. There's not some huge learning curve for running backs to come in and take a long time to be able to contribute. You're going to improve throughout your time, but you can step on campus and 1 month later be able to take four or five handoffs in a game and do something with them. Yep. So those guys are going to get their shot if they earn it.
Yeah. All right, TJ, that does it for today's podcast. Thank you for joining us. As always, it's always a pleasure talking football with you. And hopefully we'll get another podcast out here shortly. We'll start talking about some national news concerning college football as we head into the summer months and get our previews started.
Absolutely. Yeah, the off season's always, you know, terribly long with college football, but hang in there, everybody. We'll get through there and hopefully have a quote-unquote normal season in 2021 to look forward to.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks for joining us and keep following us on HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter as well at Hoosier_Huddle. And football will be here. The preseason will be here shortly, and we'll get you all ready for a fun lead up to the 2021 football season.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.